Comfort is often the first thing we're willing to give up, like taking a long flight for a vacation or waking up early for a workout. But don't let style be the reason you aren't comfy. Mack Weldon's Ace Collection makes it effortless to look put together while feeling truly comfortable. No compromises needed. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed pieces to keep you comfortable anywhere. Inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, the Ace Collection combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks. Upgrade your collection for the new year with new bomber jackets, half-zips, sweats, crewnecks, and much more. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. Get comfortable anywhere with the Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MAC25.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's Know Your Foe episode. We have a special guest this week from my alma mater, Syracuse, Dave Lapham, former Bengals great and guard, left guard and right guard for 10 years from 1974 to 1983. He now co-hosts the Bengals pep rally with another Syracuse friend of mine, Dan Ford, the voice of the Bengals. Dave, thanks for joining me.
Appreciate it very much, Ken. Thanks for the opportunity to visit.
Always great. And I guess the first question Ravens fans are going to have is, can you still suit up given the Ravens guard situation?
Yeah, that would be pretty ugly. 73 years old now, that might not work out all that well. But yeah, it's funny. You mentioned, you know, played both guards. I actually played all five positions. My nickname was the Tool. I got ordained that name because of position versatility. So you know, it was supposed to be a nickname of affection. You know, the Tool. He can do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I did. I played center. Both guards, both tackles, and actually in two games in the same season, in the 1980 season, I played all five positions in that same game, so it was pretty cool.
Wow! How did that actually play out? Was that out of necessity, or was it like a Bert Campaneris thing or Cesar Tovar, where they're trying to get you to play all the positions in a game?
Yeah, I think I don't think they were necessarily thinking about a record or anything like that. Although I do think. Playing all five positions in the same game two different times might be. I don't know if anybody else has done that, but Jim McNally was our offensive line coach, and he was a great one. Great teacher of technique and fundamentals. And, he basically wanted, okay, just you're going to go up and down the line of scrimmage. You're going to play. I basically took one series off, and everybody else took one series off, and we all played equal number of snaps in the football game. It was crazy.
Hmm. Okay, that's some serious rotation. Let's talk about the Bengals a little bit. We didn't, unfortunately, have the chance for a Know Your Foe show before the Bengals Thanksgiving game because of the short week, but the Bengals now, obviously, after beating the Ravens, coming off a tough 39-34 loss to Buffalo in the snow. What do you take from that game?
Yeah, that Buffalo game was a thriller, no doubt. 39-34, inclement weather. It was snowing, so there was a little bit of a footing issue, but the grounds crew did an unbelievably tremendous job getting that swept away, the yard markers, sidelines, all that sort of thing, so at least the officials could see what was going on and place and mark the football. And that seems to be, you know, that's not a problem until it becomes one. You know, a tap catch on the sideline, was he in, was he out, could be a critical moment in the game. You know, they never came close to canceling the game. I played in a game, the Freezer Bowl, back in the 1980 season, where it was a 9 below raw temperature with the wind chill of 35, 40 miles an hour, it was 59 below. So, wow, they almost canceled that one. We came close to canceling that one. The biggest difficulty, the grounds crew did an unbelievable job keeping ice and snow off the field because you couldn't see anything out there. And then at times it was like a whiteout. The snow was just so brutal. We did have a couple of stoppages of the game where both teams had to go to the sideline, put on you know, the long parkers and wait until the weather cleared up a little bit. It was a crazy day for sure. Never want to experience that again, and don't want to wish that experience on my worst football enemy.
Yeah, for people who don't know, that is one of the really iconic frozen games in NFL history, along with the Ice Bowl, right, into the 67 NFL championship, right? Yeah.
Right. The Packers and the Packers Cowboys. And Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, that was a hell of a game.
All right. So Joe Burrow's status currently, I mean, obviously he had the foot problem. We understood in Baltimore, he was taking his shoe off and taking that plate out because it was uncomfortable to have on for the entire time.
Yeah, he was struggling, I think, with a little bit of it in Buffalo. You know, he practiced with it all during the week, but playing in a game, that's a different animal. You know, you're doing everything at warp speed, full speed. And you know, when you have a plate like that, it doesn't allow for the flexion, you know, the bending, the motion, that type of easy fluid movement. So he was, I think he was considering at one point in time whether he should wear it at all. But medical people advised, no, don't do anything crazy. You better continue to wear that. But he played really well. I mean, completed a high percent of his passes for a good number of yards, approaching 300 yards passing, 4 touchdown passes with those 2 interceptions. One of them, pick 6, were critical and crucial and ended up being the difference in the football game, really. I think he's going to be fine. I think he'll be all hands on deck for the Baltimore Ravens. And if the Bengals can sweep the remaining 5 games, the division games that are in there, if they can win them all, would give them a 5-1 division record, which would be the best that anybody has in the division. Nobody's going to top 5-1. Nobody's undefeated at this point in time. So that could be a huge tiebreaker for him if, in fact, it gets to that point.
Yeah, they will need some help from the Steelers to get there, and from the Ravens for that matter, too. But one thing that seemed to be pretty clear in this game was that they were in the last game with Burrow was he's trying to avoid Kyle Hamilton's side of the field on some of the things. He's been a ball-out quick quarterback, and part of what's been successful and also limiting, I think, a little bit with Burrow versus the Ravens has been the desire to get the ball out quickly to the side, either direction. The strong side of the field with Hamilton close to the line of scrimmage has been, you know, very effectively covered. But I thought he did a great job in terms of getting the ball out this last week to the offside.
Yeah, he did. And Joe is is totally in full concert with what the Bengals coaching staff will game plan to try to alleviate going one-on-one or matching up with Kyle Hamilton in as few times as possible. I mean, this guy's great. Coaches talk about him with such, you know, high degree of basically
reverence.
Yeah, that's a good word for it, reverence. He is a real football player. He could have played in any era. He's just one of those guys, loves the game of football, plays it at a high level, does everything right. He's a coach's dream. Every defensive coordinator would like to have a Kyle Hamilton at the safety position. Would make their life a lot easier and make game planning a lot easier as well.
I know what I want to ask you about related to that. So the player that Hamilton reminds me of from your era is Ted Hendricks. That Hendricks was obviously a very tall player, was not particularly muscular, but he exerted amazing leverage right at the line of scrimmage against offensive linemen. I'm guessing you probably went up against him a number of times over the years, right?
I did a few times, not necessarily one-on-one, you know, against him, but a few snaps during the course of those football games. And I went to high school with a guy. We were the defensive and offensive tackles, a guy named Steve Buelgen. His brother Paul played with the Raiders when Ted Hendricks was playing, and he said that guy was crazy. Ted Hendricks is just an odd duck, man. He doesn't do anything that people would consider normal, I think, you know. But you're right. The big thing with him, 6'8", his arms are 8'6" in length. I mean, he had tremendously huge wingspan, one of the longest wingspans in the history of the combine, I guess. And he used that leverage to his advantage, and he was hard to throw over. There's no question. I mean, quarterbacks definitely, you know, wanted to not throw the. He'd bat the ball down every opportunity he could get, or tip it. Even worse, tip it and deflection, interception type thing, and frustrate the heck out of quarterbacks. So they did try to stay out of his passing lane for sure.
Weird physical specimen for the position, but still, when he came into the league, he was 6'7", 6'7" and a half, 210. And that's a basketball player. That's not a football player. But he could push an offensive tackle at that time. I mean, he'd get very low. He'd get under the guy's pads, and that length was hard to beat. He had 37-inch arms. You know, we talk about 34 and a half being really good for a tackle this time, or even 34.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was not only was he long and strong, but he was athletic. He could bend. You know, he could bend his knees and get down, like you say, play low and play his upper body with a football angle. And he would get underneath pad level of offensive tackles. He was a nightmare. He was a real problem. There's no question. I remember talking to our offensive tackles before they played that football game. And, you know, they knew that a good night's sleep was going to be necessary because it'd be a full day's work against Ted Hendricks.
There you go. Okay, so let's talk about the offensive line. Get right into your wheelhouse here. Take us from left to right along the Bengals' current five they're fielding.
Yeah, I mean, their strength is at the offensive tackle, Orlando Brown at left tackle, and Amarius Mims at the right tackle position, and Ted Karras at the center position. That's the three most consistent players this season, I think, for the Cincinnati Bengals. Ted Karras is a leader of the offensive line because he calls the blocking patterns, blocking assignments. He makes the calls at the line of scrimmage after looking over the defense, identifying it, getting on the same page as Joe Burrow, and come up with the best blocking pattern to take care of things that Joe Burrow needs to get taken care of to run a play effectively. You know, there's a whole rotation of guards that are going right now. But you know, they got a guard out of Georgia, Dylan Fairchild, that they like. He was a very high draft pick. He's got all the physical talent in the world. You know, it's not easy for college linemen to just be plugged in and play. There's a lot to learn. Veterans have so much experience. The defensive coordinators in the NFL are the best in the world at what they do. And so, you know, you find yourself. I remember playing as a rookie and found myself trying to catch up. You know, my head was spinning. So there's definitely some of that going on. And but they do have a rotation going on. Otherwise, they've had some injuries. Just like everybody this time of year, it's who's going to be healthy, who's going to be able to put the best lineup on the field as you get into December, as we are, and finish strong.
So yeah, Dylan Fairchild, third round draft pick out of Georgia. Of course, the Ravens have a similar guy, third round draft pick out of Georgia, in Ben Cleveland, who just got suspended by the league. So he's been unfortunately a really big disappointment. We were very positive on who he might be. Fairchild is much further along the curve of development as a rookie, I would say. And he looks like he's got plenty of runway still for me to reach the level that would be expected of him. Whereas, you know, Cleveland, unfortunately, has been a fairly consistent disappointment.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Runway left to achieve. I think the coaching staff and the teammates and even Fairchild feels that that's the case. You know, he feels like he's not in over his head by any means. You know, he can compete with NFL defensive linemen right now, but the more experience he gets, the more snaps under his belt he gets, the better off he's going to be, and the more competitive he's going to be for sure.
Okay. All right. So the receiving core, I do want to talk about Higgins and Chase and what they're doing, but can you update us on what the Jermaine Burton situation is? I don't think we really know why he was released. I know he was suspended for a game and then cut, but what do you know?
Yeah, basically unreliable, undependable, immature, just never did grow up. High pick. Bengals thought a lot of him. Tremendous athletic ability. Bigger body guy. He's probably 6'2"-ish, 220, 225 pound range. Can run. Can put his foot in the ground and change direction, cut and get open. But, you know, never could learn the game plan. Never could learn the playbook. Unbelievably frustrating to the coaches. His position coach, his coordinator, his head coach, the organization, you know, for drafting him, they thought that he was going to be somebody that was going to grow and develop and be a big contributor, and it never panned out. So their attitude, their mindset now is let him go elsewhere. Maybe he can get it figured out, grow up a little bit, and have an NFL career. And God bless him. Good luck to him, but we're done.
Okay. All right, understandable. Chasen Higgins, anything that, I mean, Bay Ravens fans are fairly familiar from the way they've given him a pretty good slapping in the face regularly. But what is there anything more about Chaser Higgins that's different this year, maybe different from Higgins since he came back?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty much standard quo, you know, standard modus operandi. I mean,
let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game, Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies, 100% federally legal THC blends, discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with the promo code Ravens. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to Mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code Ravens at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
Every day, companies you've never heard of are making millions off your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records on the internet, then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace built on your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. Aura removes your personal data from broker sites and keeps it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal system. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your online life. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager for safer logins, and spam call protection to shut down scammers. Aura scans the dark web for your most sensitive information and notifies you instantly if anything is exposed. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 billion in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other service charges about the same, but only cover one or two areas. Aura gives you everything: data broker removal, identity and credit monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all in one simple app. Aura removes what's already exposed, protects what's not, and puts you back in control. Go to aura.com/remove for complete digital protection and peace of mind. That's aura.com/remove.
These guys are both high caliber receivers. I mean, they're both number one receivers. I say that, you know, Chase is 1A and Higgins is 1B. But if Higgins were on another football team, he'd be one. You know, he wouldn't be a 1B, he'd be a one. So they complement each other very well. Chase does damage in the middle of the football field as well as on the sides, the edges of the football field. Higgins is more of a outside guy, but then will also be able to hurt you inside. Higgins is 6'4"-ish. I mean, big, tall, rangy, long arms, great hands, can secure the football, put it away, keep it out of harm's way, doesn't turn it over. He's fast. He's deceptively fast for his size. He's got quickness. He's got change of direction. I mean, he's got it all. He's a very, very gifted athlete physically, as is Chase. I mean, it's as good a 1-2 punch as there is in the National Football League, in my estimation.
Well, I think you're certainly right about that. And this comes off a week where the Ravens got beat with a lot of drop in the bucket throws by, of all people, Aaron Rodgers, who hasn't made a bucket throw in a month. But all of a sudden, he puts three right down the sideline, one on a deep crosser, another one that was a blown coverage on a running back that went for a 40-yard or 38, minus two plus 40 on a screen pass. But those drop in the bucket throws, I would think they'd have to encourage Burrow to try that same thing against the Ravens. Burrow has a high degree of accuracy on those throws.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, the thing about Burrow is, you know, dropping it in the bucket, check. Out patterns, 15, 20 yard out patterns, check. Both sides of the football field, check the box on both sides. Hooks in the middle of the field, check. He throws the ball with velocity, accuracy, touch, everything that you need to be an excellent passer of the football. Joe Burrow has all of those qualities. I mean, he was blessed. The good Lord, you know, tapped his right arm and said, you're going to be a chosen one. You're going to be one that's going to be throwing the football that will stagger and shock NFL fans around the world. I mean, you're going to be something special, and he certainly is. I mean, he goes to LSU and wins the had a great high school career in Ohio, goes to LSU and wins the Heisman and comes back to Ohio to play pro football. And he is a special player, as well as physically gifted. He's unbelievable football mind, his mentality, his football IQ is off the charts. Mensa, you know, he's a football genius. And then on top of that, teammates love him. He's just a regular guy, regular Joe, no pun intended. He just, he loves football. He wants to be involved with football 24/7, 365. That's just what Joe Burrow is all about.
Okay. All right. Well, the other obvious star, who I assume is not going to be playing this week, is Trey Hendrickson, right? Won't be
right
out there?
Yeah. No, Trey's out. Trey has a there's only five games left. He's got a six-week injury with his hip and pelvis area. So he's had a little procedure to try to rectify the problem, but he's done for the year.
Okay. All right. What do you suspect about his future with the Bengals?
It's a great question. I guess only his representatives know. I know the Bengals like him. You know, the Bengals, they made a move for him, and they don't normally do that. They got him off the roster of the Saints and gave up something in return. That doesn't usually take place with the Cincinnati Bengals. So, and honestly, I mean, he's had a 15 sack season, a 17 and a half sack season. He's a load, man. He's a pass rush fool. That's his specialty, and he's as good as there has ever been in the NFL, I think, as a rush guy.
As a UFA at the end of this year, I'm certainly he'll be one of the most highly sought after players. Are the Ravens talking? The Bengals talking about franchising him?
I haven't heard yet. There's a little bit of time left. I would not be surprised if they do that and try to get something for him, you know, instead of just letting him go away. But I think that's been a disappointment. I think they expected it to go a lot more smoothly and with better returns than it has. That's for sure.
All right. All right. Let's talk about some of the rookies. Obviously, it's an exciting rookie class after every draft, at least in the moment, right? Shamar Stewart's missed some time this year. Talk about him a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's gifted. I mean, he's got all the physical attributes you want. He's missed time. He missed time in the collegiate level as well, but he can do everything. You know, I mean, he can line up right on your nose and two gap you and shut the run down. He can penetrate, you know, off either shoulder, get in the gap and penetrate as well. And he's a gifted pass rusher, or he should be. Physically, he's gifted to rush the passer. He hasn't finished as many opportunities as the Bengals would like. He has caused pressures, though, and made the quarterback get off his spot, move around, and the Bengals have a better chance of defending it and potentially turning the football over. So they like what Shamar Stewart has done, but there's a lot of meat left in the bone. There's miles to go before he rests.
All right. Demetrius Knight, the second round pick.
Yeah. Very astute football guy. He makes good reads. He knows what he's looking at. He understands the game of football. He's a leader. He can call the plays, you know, get the signals from the sideline, communicate those plays to his teammates, make adjustments. They like the fact that they feel like he's a leader of the ship. You know, he's the captain. He's going to be there for a while. I think they like him a lot.
Okay. We talked a little bit about Fairchild already, so let's move on to Barrett Carter.
Yeah, another young linebacker. The Bengals have, you know, two inside linebackers that are rookies, and that's unusual. That's rare in the National Football League, and I'm sure Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens, are going to be probing and testing what's going on there in the middle of the football field. So it'll be a very active, busy day for those two young rookie linebackers in Baltimore.
Probably one thing I'll say is that the Ravens are significantly disadvantaged, and this showed up on the Thanksgiving game, but it showed up the last 4 weeks at least, with Lamar being still showing signs of injuries. The misdirection from the run game is completely gone, and running linebackers out of position is what is the fuel for the Ravens offense. I mean, it's just whether they're going to pass or run against it, but that mesh point with Henry and Lamar is, to my mind, still the most powerful weapon in the National Football League, but only when Lamar's healthy. If he doesn't really threaten the run, then not so much.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if he is 100%, he is the biggest and best dual threat in the National Football League. I think he's an unbelievably rare athlete at the quarterback position. Like you said, he's a running back. He's got the skill set and the speed and change of direction, everything that great running backs in the history of the National Football League have had. But he has a howitzer hanging off his right shoulder, you know, and he can throw the ball anywhere, and he can put it to any quadrant of the football field as accurately as anybody in the history of the football game. And, man, that's a hell of a 1-2 punch for John Harbaugh and company to have.
Well, you never got to play against either Gale Sayers, because Sayers retired, I think, after 71, or Barry Sanders, right? Because he was in the league after you were retired, right?
I think I might have caught Barry Sanders rookie year, but we didn't play against him, but, you know, saw everything that he was doing. But, yeah, you're talking about, I mean, Sweetness was – I met Walter Payton at a couple of functions, events sponsored by the National Football League, and what a gentleman. What a great human being. I mean, yeah, he's an unbelievable representative for the National Football League, a true Hall of Famer in every sense of the word, both on and off the football field. And Barry Sanders, my God, man. You know, short stature-wise, thick, strong, had gotten the weight room, got himself strong. And that dude could change direction, and, man, he could do things that – you know, you'd only dream about if you're a normal human being. That guy was in he was up there. He was amongst the best to ever do it.
So maybe you'd have a sense of this, because I know in offensive line play, being able to read what your opponent is doing is probably as important as it is in boxing, in terms of being able to, you know that when the punch is coming, so you can slip it before as it's coming in. And you know, similar things, whether, you know, when's the time to punch as an offensive lineman in a lot of cases. Lamar Jackson, to me, is one of the four greatest athletes who's ever played in any sport in terms of understanding opponent leverage. So that's the reason why he never really seems to be in fourth gear as a runner. It always seems to be pretty much in third gear. He's running around the field figuring out how he's going to make the next guy miss. And I just love to watch him.
Yeah, I mean... I love to watch him unless we're playing against him. he's a joy, though, for any football fan to watch, you know. And if you played the game, you understand how remarkable he is, how remarkable his talent is. Like you say, I mean, he can do things that most mortals only dream about. There's no way that he did that. Is that right? I need to look at that again. He's spectacular. And like I said, too, his teammates just – they think the world of him. I mean, they think that, you know, whatever Lamar Jackson says to do, they're going to do it, and they're not going to question it. And they truly believe in him in every way you can.
All right. Let's move on to the final question I ask everybody who comes on Know Your Foe is, who's the one player on each side of the ball for the Bengals that you think matches up particularly well against the Ravens?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure. The Ravens are tough to match up against, you know, in all three phases, really. I do think that they're going to have good games out of their offensive tackles. I think Orlando Brown and Amarius Mims are going to be very, very important in this football game this Sunday, because they're going to have to get the running game going, and the Bengals have been sporadic. It's been inconsistent, I think, is the kindest way to put it. With the running game, they're starting to get a little more consistency in that area. But in order to beat the Ravens, I think you have to do both. You have to be balanced in your attack. You have to be able to run the football with a modicum of consistency and then be able to play action pass and throw the football as well. And if necessary, when you're backed up, you know, have Joe Burrow drop back there and drop a dime deep down the football field in the deepest areas, deepest quadrants of the football field. Defensively, you know, I think B.J. Hill is going to be a big factor on the inside. I think Jenkins, the rookie defensive tackle, is going to be a factor as well. I think that the Ravens can run the ball like with Henry. I mean, Henry's a man. He's all man, 250 pounds plus, you know, 6'2", 6'3". That guy is a force. And, you know, you're going to have to make sure that you don't you take care of your gap control responsibility. If you get out of your gap and start to get nosy and try to make a hero play, Derrick Henry will make you pay. And, you know, don't mean to be a poet and be rhyming here, but he's something else. And they've got other players that can complement that. And I think Mark Andrews is a magnificent tight end. I think he's not just good. I think he's great. I think he's a first ballot Hall of Fame type guy. And he's had big games against the Cincinnati Bengals. And I think Lamar Jackson, that's his security blanket. That's his safety net. And when all else fails, find Mark Andrews and good things will happen.
All right. Well, Dave, thanks so much for taking the time to join us here. Really appreciate it. Love your spin on things and how you follow the Bengals and appreciate football in general. Tell folks where they can follow you online, find your show with Dan, or anything else you'd like to plug.
Yeah, the Bengals Pep Rally show is on all the Clear Channel, iHeart, I should say, not Clear Channel anymore. It's iHeart radio stations, 700 WLW 1530 ESPN, and then also do a podcast for the Cincinnati Bengals. It's located out of First Star Logistics. People can check that out. We do two or three a week, particularly during the football season. We do so. Yeah, do some local TV as well. So this time of year, it's busy. Radio, TV, and podcasting keeps you on your toes for sure.
Yeah, very much so. Well, Dave, thanks so much for coming on. Other folks out there, please hit me up. Hashtag Film Study Mailbag. I'd like to use that as a question and answer for 1 to 3 minute videos. Again, if you have questions there, would love to hear them. Dave, thanks again for coming on.
My pleasure, Ken. Appreciate you, sir.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.